I want to welcome you to my basement, Ricardo. It's such an honor and a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for taking the time to meet with us. And welcome to François's basement.
Gracias. I'm happy to be here.
Well, no, I'm the one happy. And of course, my co-host today is Rosy Hurtado, good friend, Professor at SUNY Oswego. And thank you, Rosy, also for coming and spending time with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me and for doing this. This is great.
No, it's a pleasure. Listen, François's basement born by the necessity to keep our students engaged and very much in a very positive attitude for their future, right? So we have the chance to have here cinematographers, directors, writers, and today we have a poet. And I cannot wait because I found it fascinating to me. This is a podcast that creates bridges between those experts in the communication, media, and the arts, and you, the audience. And talking about an expert, we have today a wonderful expert in Ricardo, which is an amazing poet. And we're going to talk, of course, about poetry. But we go in there. Ricardo, I'm going to start with a very basic question. What is poetry for you? How can you define poetry to our audience?
So for me, poetry is a way of expressing ourselves and engaging with our feelings, our emotion, our experiences in ways that give art life. So when I think about things that happen to me, throughout my life, how do I process those experiences? I find ways by using poetry to express those feelings. So there were times when I used to say, I write poetry because I can't afford a therapist. That's not the case anymore. But, it is another way of expressing ourselves and by utilizing art, and art is all around us, Everything that's around us is a form of art. The leaves, mm-hmm. the trees, the animals, human beings, we all are expressions of art.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I love that you say that, and I want to be myself in it. I love what you say about the therapies. I think the best therapy is to sit down and write. Actually, my therapist say you should go and write. Just sit down and write what you feel and how you feel. Okay, so that's poetry, is expressions of emotions through a narrative. However, a lot of people that are listening, including me, would say, well, that sounds quite easy, but it's not that easy to write poetry. What is the difficulty to write poetry in a technical perspective, right? Because that's what I think. Poetry have a formula that, you study, you understand that how that formula works. What is that formula and how difficult or easy is to write poetry?
there are many formulas if you want to think about form and structures and different ways of expressing poetry on paper, right? Mm-hmm. But even when people are talking about a more modern version, when people talk about not even more modern, but spoken word, which is, poetry is meant to be recited, right? Some people would say, well, it's meant to be read. Some people would say, it should be written first and then recited. However, all of those are ways of expressing poetry, and all of those have some kind of structure or some formula. In Puerto Rico, we have La Décima, right? And there's a particular structure to that, form, mm-hmm. that we use on the island, and it is part of the island's culture, and people learn to sing and also recite poetry in that structure. And it's called Décima because it has 10 built into it, right? The counting is built into it. So we have all of that as part of structure. Some of them are easier to utilize and some of them are more complicated. I try to be to live in the free verse realm of things, just because it goes along easier with my style and what I prefer. Mm-hmm. But if I have to sit down and do something structured with a particular form, I can do that. And, you know, this past year, since January 1st, I've been writing a poem each day. And the one consistent thing among these poems is that I've been using structure a lot rather than a lot of free form. And some people like structure. Some people like rhyme. And other people don't. Other people prefer that you talk about contemporary issues, about your life, your experience. And other people prefer that you talk about the esoteric, about try to define beauty, concepts that are undefinable. I think what I enjoy a lot about poetry is that even within its structure, there's so much ability for you to do something different and it still be perceived as poetry. And I think what makes poetry beautiful is that we can say things in ways that express our deepest feelings, you know, in ways that make us smile without having to tell people that I'm smiling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, we can just talk about it. And that, how you receive it as a consumer is really what's important. Because we all bring our own experiences to it.
Mm. I love what you say. And again, I'm going to give the chance to Rosie to come and be part of our conversation. I have other things that jump in my mind, but I will tell you later. What I do know, I'm really bad with rhyme. Very bad. My daughter name is Fabiana and I call her Fabiana Cara de Banana. And she said, that doesn't rhyme. That doesn't make sense. So rhyming is a complete different story. But Rosie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So some of the things, Ricardo, that you were bringing up and that are touching for me are, it like when we're talking about poetry, right? And we're talking about why isn't it easy? It's also the combinations of words, right? Like a word might be perfect for describing something, but that word in combination with the other words that you're using does not work. And so you have to go back and think through what is the thing that you're most attached to? What is your commitment to refining and kind of working it all down to be that, I don't know. I want to think of like, when you take a bite of a perfectly ripe fruit,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a good line of poetry, right? When you just get completely absorbed or enveloped in that moment. And I know that many, Ricardo, I know that many of your poems, they play with, I'm just thinking about the fact that they play with the different senses, right? Like the taste and things like that, but that you're able to bring people into a moment with the poem, that you're able to get past like ego, you're able to get to those spaces of like real humanity that are very humble and kind of speak across those distances.
Yeah, you know, I think that when I am engaged with poetry, I'm always considering not only the use of language, but you know, you're learning. And I think what we learn with poetry is how to be what's the word I'm looking for? Not exact with language, but in a way, be exact with language, because words have multiple definitions depending on the context, and we rarely explore that in everyday life, right? We just use one word, and that word, you know, cuts across many situations in life. But what we learn through poetry is that there are words specifically in existence for that moment that you're trying to describe, mm-hmm. you know, and I think this is what Rosie is getting at, you know, that moment doesn't work if you're using the common word that everybody uses. I grew up with the word chiforobe in Spanish, mm-hmm. right? And it's this armoire that has three three drawers and a mirror inside, and you can hang clothes. But rarely do people use the word chiffon robe in English. You know, it's like an outdated word. It, you know, it's we have closets now. Who has a chiffon robe? But it is such a beautiful word. And it comes, for me, it comes from Spanish. I'm not trying to speak another language. I'm just, this is what I grew up with in houses that didn't have built-in closets, right? And it is so much more part of my reality. And I guess I'm dating myself, having grown up in a house that didn't have a closet. But these things come into play and they create the language that you're looking for. And it is not that we're trying to be intentionally obtuse, but that we're trying to really describe the moment, that scene, as accurate as possible. I like to think that what inspires me as a writer is that I am like an exposed nerve ending, that it is constantly receiving stimulus. And anything that stimulates me could become a potential poem, you know, and that's how I live my life. Every moment is a moment of poetry.
I love that. That's beautiful, actually. Every moment is a moment of poetry. I will apply that one to my own life for sure. I'm very curious because creativity is everything for me. I think be creative. I mean, the process of creativity is something that, you know, make humans the beauty of what we are, right? Interviewing, again, writers, script writers for television. I always want to know, what is your creative process? Because for a lot of listeners, including maybe myself, we always think like, well, if I'm going to write poetry, I need to go, you know, to the woods and be under the stars and, you know, in order to get inspired. What is your process of, from the moment you, for example, you just said in your everyday, you leave a situation, say, this is something that I would like to talk about it. From that moment to the moment where suddenly you start putting words in a page.
Yeah. So if the moment drives me to write something, I will pause. I will multitask. I will do whatever I can to jot down how I feel, how I remember hearing things. Rosie talked about me employing the senses, right? Which is very important to me because that's how we as human beings interpret the world. So if I feel that if I connect with you through your senses, through my writing, that I'm going to have a connection and engage reader. So I intentionally try to incorporate two or three of the senses in every poem that I write well. Something that's probably twice or three times revised. I make sure that the senses are employed in one way or another. What did I smell in the room? What did I hear? What did it feel like? I want to convey that in my work. So at the moment that I decide that I need to write that down, I need to put something about the senses, record that, whether it's on my cell phone or on a sticky note, anywhere that I'm going to go back to later on during my writing time. And for the most part, I'm not as disciplined as I used to be, but that 10 to midnight hour when I was younger used to be my writing time. I'm finding it now that somewhere between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. is my writing time now, and any other time in between. But so the process is begins that way. I do want to let some things marinate. So it may sit there for a day or it might sit there for 6 months. If when I transfer it to my laptop, which now I am more electronically driven for my writing. There used to be a time when I would write everything by hand and then translate it onto the computer. Now I just write on the computer. When I transcribe something onto the computer, I make sure that I have those notes and I organize it to the point where I have an incomplete folder. And I put items in there that I know I'm going to come back at some future date. and write about. Those can be ideas, thoughts, words. It could be full stanzas, really badly written poems, first drafts, mm-hmm. a lot of first drafts in there. I don't worry so much about punctuation and grammar mm-hmm. during that mm-hmm. process. For me, that comes at the very end of the process. But I want the main ideas to be there. And hopefully when I get back to it, it is something that is somewhat honest to the original thought. It might be, I know that there are times where I've taken something from the incomplete file and created something brand new.
Mm-hmm.
I like to believe that every poem that I've written is based on some truth, on something that is actually real, that actually happened. And from there, I build a story around it. But there are times, I know there are just a handful of times, and probably more than I want to admit, where it is completely invented.
But yes and no, and I'll tell you later. Right. Sorry, Rossi, you go.
No, I was just thinking, like, if that's what good art does, right? Like, maybe it strays from the truth a little bit, but it brings us back to that honesty. Because you said it bring, like, you hope it was honest to, like, the moment, right? So
right.
Is that what great art does?
And you're completely right. Again, I mean, one of the beauties of doing this podcast is that I have conversation with great people, talented people, including, of course, Ricardo today. And basically, more or less, all of them say, what create a good story? What create a, you know, yes, it's not real that we're doing a TV show about aliens in the space, blah, blah, blah. But those aliens, those characters need to have a sense of honesty and true. Mm-hmm. If that is not there, you are creating something more or less that is not only fictional in the sense of the story, but fictional in the emotions that you're going to try to transmit to the audience, right? And so I couldn't agree more with Rossi. True art and good art have to have a sense of honesty from the artist, right?
Yeah.
Do you think, though, that they also, like, open up something honest within ourselves, like when we're watching or viewing? I'm just thinking of, like, those moments in a book or in a movie where you don't want to admit that you've had that experience or you felt that way because you're like, I'm not petty. And it's right. Like, I'm definitely petty. I definitely have done that thing in real life. And so just that honesty resonating with the good and the bad, or not bad, but the good and the parts of us, ourselves that maybe are works in progress.
Mm-hmm. I do agree with that one, too. I think we all connect with that. Ricardo, and the question that I have for you is poetry, how to explain? Let's see, has somebody who is in education, of course, we're going to talk about what you do for the SUNY system, which we appreciate so much, but has somebody who is in high education, like we all are, you know, we are educating a new generation with technology in their hands and things like that. Is poetry something of the past or has been transformed in something new, in your opinion?
No, I think poetry is of the past, not of the past. Okay. Right? It began whenever it began. Right? Whenever the first poem was written, and we are still tied to that. You know, so like almost like a clothesline. I think that in the tradition of the very first poem, when people were trying to make sense of life and reality and their existence, that we are still doing that through poetry. I think, you know, and you can see very distinct periods in poetry where people utilize the art form to talk about what's happening in their society, to even protest and provide news, right? Through the art form, I think that we're very much still doing that in contemporary poetry. I think that as human beings, we're still evolving, and we hold the past as this beautiful thing that's perfect, because it is probably our first way of expressing ourselves, right? It was our first maturation as mm-hmm. as a species. And now, because we can be more creative and do things in different ways, sometimes there might be a disconnect, like, oh, that's old stuff. That no one really does that. But that's our foundation. Mm. That's our foundation for everything that we're doing today. And I think that we need to ensure as educators that connection is still there. Because I firmly believe that everything has been done before. Mm-hmm. That this conversation we're having right now was had 2,000 years ago, maybe not via this medium, but certainly face-to-face. And people were talking about 600 years before them. And they were having what was happening before. I firmly believe so. I mean, the human beings are so introspective and curious about the world that they live in, the universe that they live in. Part of what drives us is trying to understand the moment and trying to understand that which we don't understand or don't know anything about, right? So there's always fascinations about space, about death, about the beginning of something, what happened outside of this moment, trying to imagine what it's like to live outside of ourselves, right? We see it in movies where characters in fantasy movies see themselves on the operating table, right? All of these things are ways that we're trying to conceptualize and understand life. And I think that poetry is just that. It's just this long thread of us experiencing life and trying to understand it. And we're still very much tied to it, very much tied to it. So we are of the past. But poetry is not the past or something not to be looked at.
Right, right. Well, and I think, you know, you transform, art transform itself in new things, right? I mean, we talk about hip hop and raps and, you know, all those genders of music is literally poetry in motion, right? It's this idea of using words to express an artistic with music. So it's not like, you know, that I consider that part of being a poet is to be able to write a good hip hop song or rap, right? Which is not easy at all.
Right. And even that, they have their own, there is form within that, right? And again, it's an interpretation of the moment. And of course, you got what's commercialized versus what people focuses on the non-commercial part of it. But there is, again, we're trying to tell that story, right? I remember growing up in the Bronx when hip hop was emerging, right? In the late 70s, early 80s, when it was becoming commercialized and you were hearing the songs that were coming out, and the message was the song that was speaking about our existence, about what we were seeing every day in the Bronx, in Queens, in Brooklyn, anywhere in America. It was a very real existence, and it was a telling of a story from one perspective of what was happening. And that's why it resonated and it became such a great hit, because people could recognize in that song, in those rap lyrics, in that poetry, their moment, their existence, something that really connected them to that music. So, it's very much so.
And Ricardo, let's go back in time. When can you remember the first time you wrote a poem and what that poem was?
So, of course, we all had poetry in elementary school, some basic things like roses are red, violets are blue, yada, 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 right? But my first inspired poem, the first poem that I wrote, I was in boot camp in the Marine Corps. It was in the summer of 1985. I wrote it in a letter that I sent back to some friends and family members. And I was waiting to go swimming, or not go swimming, but to go take the qualifying swimming exam. And in the Marine Corps, you are in uniform with your pack on, and you jump in the pool and you have to thread water for 2 minutes. Wow. And that might as well be like, you know, 6 hours, right? Mm. Needless to say, I did not pass the first time around. But while we were out there waiting for our turn, you know, and these are groups of 60 people, I saw this ant crawling on a grass blade. And I just started imagining what the life of that ant was, and where it was headed, and what it was doing, and who its family was. And apparently it was a beautiful poem, because I have letters that were sent back to me that say, "Oh, what a beautiful poem you wrote." But I have no copies of the poem.
Oh my God.
But I do have evidence that it was written and people thought it was beautiful, but no copies of the poem.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, it's an experience. You keep it in your heart and in your mind. I always say to my guests, I could be here the whole day. I'm a talker, love to talk, love to meet people, but unfortunately, the podcast have very limited. Rosie, I'm going to give you the chance to have a final thought or questions to Ricardo before we go.
Okay. So while you were speaking about DEI, and I think this goes back to Francisco, what you had asked about the connection between art and DEI, when we say, like, you know, loaning your lawnmower to your neighbor so that they can mow their lawn because it affects your property value, but also understanding that their yard can be an expression of themselves, right? That they don't all have to be the same. And that when we're doing the work of diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's a goal. And I had a really great colleague one time who said, you know, goals and ideals are beautiful because they're things that we move towards. And we're not holding ourselves to a very limited structure, but instead we're saying, okay, here's this new thing that I'm coming across. And rather than just, you know, doing that reaction where you do the Heisman and you're just like, no, absolutely not. You're not like me. You're not following what I said. You weren't listening to me. It's okay. I'm hearing what you're saying. Now, how do we incorporate that? How do we make this so that everybody can safely engage, right? But engage on their own terms and say to one another, like, I need to hear you across our difference. And that difference isn't deficiency. And that art gives us that opportunity. It gives us that bridge to see difference as an avenue of respect rather than something that we need to hide from.
Mm. Yeah, I love it. Well, Ricardo, so what will be the name of your poem?
The first one I wrote down was Bajo el Tamarindo.
Bajo el Tamarindo. Okay. Yeah.
Because where I grew up in Caruso, Carolina, we had this tamarindo tree. Uh-huh. And that was a spot where we, as little kids, would sit down. My grandfather's brother lived right across the street from it. It was a very narrow street, so we were always in front of him. And this was a man who grew up who was born in the 1890s. Wow. And would tell us stories about interacting with Spanish soldiers during his youth. So I think that's where I would like to begin.
Ricardo, we want to thank you in the name of the students, of course, as Sunio Spigo, but all of the audience of the show for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to have participated, and I hope that my conversation adds value to their experiences.
I'm sure it will. And Rosie, thank you so much. I love having you as my co-host.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having me. And I'm excited to see you on September 16th when Dr. Nazario Colon will be visiting us at SUNY Oswego in person. To share some of his poetry.
You cannot miss that. Thank you to the audience, of course, my production team. I want to thank WCNY PBS in Central New York and Central New York Art for their partnership. It's thanks to this partnership that we can have awesome people like Ricardo and Rosie in our podcast. And I will see you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.